Welcome back to Mad Props. Today is a very special episode because I have one of my closest friends, Chandler Williams, coming on. Coach Williams, some people might know him as. He is a coach at Buff State in Buffalo, New York, D3 program. He's going to talk a little bit about the program, talk a little bit about recruiting. Some of the questions I've always had for him, but I've never actually asked him, are going to come out in this episode. I've always wanted to ask him a bunch of these questions, but like, I never could because I wanted to save it for when he comes on my podcast. And it's been 65 episodes now, and he's finally coming on. I'm very excited for this. So this is going to be a really good episode. Before we get into all that, make sure you follow Mad Props on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Mad Props Pod, or search schnabelstudios.com/Mad Props. You can find all of our social media, all of our listening links. You can actually listen right there on the website. You can watch it there on the website. Everything's right there. There's articles. I'm going to be adding more things as well, like profiles of guests and stuff like that. So there's going to be a lot of cool stuff on there. That is schnabelstudios.com/madprops. Also follow Schnabel Studios as well, at Schnabel Studios on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, TikTok, and YouTube. And you can see all the different things we're doing. We're sharing a lot of videos that we've done with Schnabel Studios recently from different jobs and different freelancing opportunities and stuff like that. So you get to really see what's going on with Schnabel Studios on top of the podcasting stuff. And I started doing photography. It's called Photography Fridays. Last Friday, I shared a bunch of animals like squirrels and birds because it's the first time I really went out. I got a really cool shot of a blue jay. I was really excited about that, but I don't really do photography, so I was really excited about all that. So go check that out. Let me know how I did on that as well. Go follow us on social. Hey, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Give us a rating. Give us a like. Give us a share. Give us a comment. Let us know how you think about it. We really appreciate all that stuff. It really helps the podcast out itself. You can listen on Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music. We've been getting a lot of plays on YouTube Music, which is like a little shocking to me because we never really got that. But it's probably because Google Podcasts is no longer with us. So definitely do that. New episode of Sketching Up coming out this Wednesday. So definitely be ready for that. I think we're going to talk a little. We don't know what we're going to talk about just yet. But I think we're going to talk a little bit about Invincible because the halfway point is now here. So we got to talk about Invincible and the Spider-Verse thing, which we'll talk a little bit about in this podcast. A bunch of stuff going on there. So definitely check out Sketching Up. Thank you, everybody, for joining us again for another episode of Mad Props. Remember, tomorrow, Slade Ham special on YouTube is coming out. Definitely go check that out. I'm telling you right now, look, he's not even on this time, and I'm telling you, it was that funny. You need to check that out. It was really good, really enjoyable. So definitely go check that out. I have a couple more shoots coming up, so we might be seeing some throwback episodes in the near future. I'm not sure yet. We do have a couple guests actually lined up for April, so there will be more guests and a couple solo episodes, but there may have to be some throwback episodes. So if you know my history, maybe I'll put a poll out. You guys can tell me which one you want to hear from people that haven't already been out there. We've already done H. John Benjamin, Aaron Carter, and Waka Flocka. So, you know, we have Rev Run, we have Jalen Rose. We have the first Monica Abbott, which would be fun to have like a throwback Monica Abbott on top of the Monica Abbott that we already have. Vince Papale, again, first Vince Papale to go on top of the old Vince Papale. There's a lot of them that we can go out there. So maybe I'll put a poll out, let you guys vote. Whichever one wins, that's who we'll do when we do the next throwback episode. And I hope you guys enjoy that. It's really fun for me to do those throwback episodes because I get to release interviews that I haven't been able to release before. You know, like they were either on radio back 10 years ago, or they were on they were on websites that no longer exist. So I like to be able to get those out there so I can also get those pieces of work out there and people can really see how I grew. Like you go listen to Waka Flocka and you see how I was in that. And then you go listen to like Kid Quill and then you go listen to Slade Ham. You could see like the growth and all that. Actually, speaking of Kid Quill, I'm just doing promotions right now. I'm sorry, but speaking of Kid, nobody paid me for this either. I should probably start getting some money for this. Speaking of Kid Quill, he just dropped the song Sierra Mist on Friday. Go check that out. It's really good. You're really going to like it. It's such a vibe. Go check out Sierra Mist by Kid Quill. He was the first ever guest on the show, so I want to make sure I shout him out on that because it is really good. If I remember, I'll link it below. I'll try to remember super hard, but it's not a guess thing, so who knows. But if not, Sierra Mist by Kid Quill. Just look Kid Quill. You'll probably find it because it's going to be right there towards the top because it just came out. I could promote former guests all day, but I'm not going to do that. I want to get into the guest we have right now. Chandler Williams joining us right now. Here we go. Cue the music. This is Mad Props.
I'm Chandler Williams. Let's start the show.
All right, we are here with one of my closest friends, Chandler Williams, Coach Williams, Buff State legend, Coach Williams. How are we doing? How's it going over there? You're repping them on air. I've repped them on air before, so.
I know, I've seen.
This isn't their first appearance.
Hey, whatever I could do to make the Bengal nationwide, that'd be great. All right.
Yeah, anytime you send me something, every time you give me something, I put it on there.
No, you know who always asks me, I've had tons of gear. Like, we've always exchanged gears from, like, things that, like, places that we've been and jobs that we've worked. But, like, everyone always asks me about the Hartford Athletics hat. Everywhere I go, what logo that is. And, like, I always tell them, like, oh, yeah, my buddy works for, the soccer team and stuff like that. But that hat has given me more recognition than any other hat. Like, I've worn a Gonzaga hat out, and people ask me, like, oh, why do you have a Gonzaga hat? My buddy went there. Like, so it's always, like,
it's completely different. It's a completely different one. You're like, oh, well, Gonzaga. They talk about Gonzaga because they know what that is. What is that hat you're wearing? What the hell is that you're wearing on your head?
You can't tell if it's letters or not. It looks like gibberish, but I know it's a Hartford Athletic. I'm not even a soccer fan.
Hartford Athletic. Now I am. Now you have more of those than I do now. I don't even own any of those anymore. Yeah. But yeah, we always exchange gear. I gave you some Schnabel Studios gear, which we're revving up some new stuff. So I'll have to send you more when we do that. We're going to rev up some new things, some new shirts, some new quarter zips. I think I gave you a quarter zip, so I'll get you a shirt.
Yeah.
And if we do anything else, I'll grab you that as well so we can exchange
anything Mad Props, some gear, Mad Props but gear.
Yeah, so that's funny because I went up to Buffalo recently, and when we went out, I had the Mad Props hoodie, and that is the first piece of Mad Props gear we've ever made. Shout out to Mary for making it because she does all the making of the gear. But that was the first – I think I wore it on the podcast right after that because I did record a podcast from my hotel about 15 minutes before I left my hotel.
It was funny because, like,
I got to record it now.
When I had taken you back, right before we were sitting in my office and we had all our student athletes in there, we were just sitting there talking. We were making that superhero list. And the only thing I think about was, like, damn, this would have been perfect for a podcast if we had time to set up a camera and you would have just.
You want to know something funny? I stole it. I stole it. And the next Sketching Up, we did it. We did the basketball one. We did it the way we thought we were going to do it. Matt and I did. I think I texted you. I'm like, hey, we're stealing your idea if you want to jump on real quick. But it was like
But
10 minutes before we were recording.
I woke up at like 11:30, 12 o'clock, and I was like, damn it. And Gabby was like, what the hell happened? No, I was like, I missed the opportunity to redraft my guys for the basketball team for superheroes.
We totally stole it, and Kyle couldn't join, so I was like, I'll text Chandler. But it was like 9 o'clock at night when I texted you. It was not like it was like a nice early night. Like we just decided to we did that because of March Madness, and I was like, what is a good idea to do for March Madness? And literally right after I left Buffalo, I texted the group and I'm like, guys, we should do this. March Madness starts like the day after we drop. So, like, we dropped on a Wednesday in the first game. Now, the first four have already happened at that point. But the first game was that next day. So I was like, let's steal this. And I think I texted you, like, 10 minutes before we recorded. I was like, dude, we're recording 10 minutes, but if you're up, you can hop on.
It's not stealing.
So we totally
creative
stole
borrowing.
It.
Creative borrowing.
Yeah,
creative
I totally stole it. I stole it. You don't need to preference it. I stole it. I snatched it and took it with me, and now I own it. I actually texted you. You didn't get back to me because you were the one that said – you told me about the movie Ricky Stenicki. Did you see it?
I haven't watched it yet. So okay. I was.
You can skip that one.
What? No, I'm watching it. No, I don't care. It's probably a bad one if you want. Of course it's going to be a bad. No. I think John Cena, funny actor. I'm all in.
I watched it. So there was a day I was fasting. I think I told you I was doing that as well, right? I told you I was going to fast, or maybe I didn't. I don't know. I did. I fasted. Yeah. I did a 24-hour fast. And I was fasting, so I can't exercise or anything, really, because you don't want to burn that protein. Then you're going to get hungry, blah, blah, blah. So I was just sitting on the couch watching movies. It's the first time I've done that, and I can't I caught up on Invincible. I watched, like, 3 movies. I just sat there and watched TV all day. I haven't done that in forever. And I watched Ricky Stenicki, because I remember you talking about it, and I was like, okay, let's give it a shot. And it's weird because I watched the whole movie. Like, I watched it front to end. There was one, at one point I was ready. I was like, all right, what's next? But I stuck with it, and then I watched it to the end. The story wasn't, like, the worst story in the world. It's exactly what you would think it is because they tell you what it is in the beginning. But, like, I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh throughout the entire movie. Throughout the entire movie, I did not laugh. I'm not even kidding you. I didn't laugh at all because it was, like, they tried to get you on the humor with, like, super. So I thought it'd be more like how, like, those 2000s, 2010s comedies, like, where you laugh at moments because, like, they're relatable moments that are maybe a little over the top and make them funnier, right? Like, that's kind of what made those funny. Like, some are super over the top, but most of them are a little over the top, or the situation's over the top, but the thing they get into could be relatable. But like, that kind of
the
thing.
The reaction was just relatable.
The movie was just super over the top, like sex jokes and it was just like, I thought it was going to be a little more of that subtle comedy, I guess. I came in with no expectations. I was like, I'm not going to give it any expectations because I've seen the trailer. And if I come in with expectations, I'm going to hate this movie. So I came with no expectations. I just didn't laugh. And I also, based on how they were promoting it throughout, how he had like the OnlyFans page and stuff like that. I thought it was going to, his character would be a little more different than it was, but then his character was not exactly what I thought it was going to be coming in. So it, I don't know. I'm not even kidding. I'm not saying this because like, I told you like, it sounds funny. I think this could be good. And I did not laugh. I had one like moment in the entire thing. That's it. I'm not exaggerating.
That's pretty disappointing.
And I like a dumb comedy.
Yeah, I'm still gonna watch it.
Let me know if maybe it's just me. Like, obviously, it could just be me, but like, it was just every joke they tried to pull was very, very, very over the top. It almost reminded me. Yes. Almost like the Adam Sandler, Andy Samberg vehicle.
That's my boy.
That's my boy.
I figured that was going to be the comparison. I thought it was going to be like, that's my boy.
It was very much that kind of comedy.
Okay. So,
that's my boy. That was very forced, very over the top.
Yeah, because I'll tell you right now, like, That's My Boy was between that and Jack and Jill are probably my two least favorite movies to Adam Sandler. And that's what I kind of got the vibe from watching the Ricky Stenicki trailer. But I'm a John Cena fan. I think he is funny.
I am too.
As a person. So like, I think Zac Efron is actually a really good actor.
I think he's hilarious too. I think they're both great actors. And there's never anything wrong with that, right? Like, you can have good actors don't have great movies. Zac Efron's had a couple of them that weren't great. Yeah. So like, but I still like him as an actor. It was just a little too over the top for my taste. And there were some good moments in it and stuff, though. Just give it a watch, and then you let me know. Then you can come back on a different episode. You can tell me I'm wrong, or you could tell me I was right. But I did. And then I watched the Barbie movie. I watched it. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was fantastic. What's
funny? Still haven't seen it.
I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't seen it because I was like, well, I don't want to watch this. Like, whatever. It's the Barbie movie. It was great. It was a great movie. I enjoyed it very much.
I mean, granted, it's Margot Robbie, so I probably will get a chance to watch it at some point. But I was more interested in actually watching the Oppenheimer movie, and that
I watched that one too.
Fantastic movie. So like that was also famous. Like when the Barbenheimer whole thing was going about, like I was all in on Oppenheimer. Like big World War II buff.
Yeah,
too.
I watched.
It was right there.
I watched both of them. They were Oppenheimer was like deserved every award it got. It was so good. It was so well shot. Christopher Nolan, he's the director of our time, right? Like he's the one that's making all the big blockbuster movies of art. He's the Spielberg or the whatever name them, right? There's always one. It's now Nolan. But I honestly, it's on Max now, so you could just if you have a Max account, you could just go watch it. It was really good. It really was funny. And there's a joke. You say it's Margot Robbie. There's one. So like she's becoming I don't really know how to explain this great, but she's like becoming like a forgotten toy almost. It's like not exactly what it is, but like because of her human that plays with her, it's like changing who she is as a Barbie. Yeah. And at one point she's like, look at me, I'm ugly. And then Naria goes, if you want to make this point, you should not cast Margot Robbie here.
<It's> like, yeah,
that's pretty funny.
Not the right cast.
Yeah, not the right casting for that. But it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I think you would enjoy it. I think you enjoy it more than you think.
I don't think I would not enjoy it. I heard who's the guy from Remember the Titans that couldn't cover a soul? What's his name?
Who plays Ken?
Yeah. What's his
name? Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, Ryan Gosling. Okay. He can play the crap out of Ken, but he couldn't cover that wide receiver on that route. That's why they had to get my man Petey in there. But he was pretty good. So like I would watch the whole movie, and I'm not gonna have any qualms about it. I just knew I wasn't gonna go to the theater and go spend that money to go see that
movie. I didn't go to the theater to see either of them because I don't really go as I mean you I, mean, who, I don't really I mean, go to the theater that much as
to,
it is.
Who goes to movies anymore?
No, there's no reason to. They're like $25. Yeah. They're expensive now. They're really expensive now. Yeah. $25+. But I just can't sit still for that long. I can't sit still for 3.5 hours. I have to get up. I have to move. I have to do all this stuff. You can't do that in the theater. It's frowned upon.
I know. But the other thing, I know the next movie that I will be going to the movie theater to see it on opening, the two movies I will go see on opening, Deadpool Wolverine, and then
100%.
The Across the Spider-Verse. Need to see that. Need to see both of those on opening night. Those are two movies that I don't even care about for the Marvel sake, just for film sake.
Yeah, did you see they dropped a short, like Across the Spider-Verse short? So I didn't see it yet, though.
So
I
that
they did it.
That was really for the mental health aspect. Like, so Kevin Love was like, he's a big advocate on, I think he suffered from anxiety or whatever during his NBA career. I'm pretty sure he's still playing on some team. I just don't know.
Kevin Love.
Yeah, Kevin Love. What did I say?
You said Kevin Hart.
I said Kevin Love, but yeah.
I didn't know that's what it was for. Yeah. And when you said Kevin Hart, I was like, yeah, this seems like something he would do for mental health. And he said NBA career. I'm like, well, he's definitely not talking about Kevin Hart.
Are you sure Kevin Hart's not hooping? No. Yeah, Kevin Love.
He was. He's two-time celebrity MVP.
That's a fact. That is a fact. I think the only two-time celebrity MVP. But yeah,
it might be. It should have been that. Remember, it was the senator or something from Washington. Is the one.
Oh,
he scored
hooping.
Like 25.
Oh, yeah,
he
came
and gave it to Kevin Hart.
It was hooping. But it's Kevin Love's adaptation on mental health, using Miles as his muse and stuff like that. And it was like really well done. It was awesome. And I was like thinking that I was going to have maybe some kind of depiction or telling on when the next Across the Spider-Verse was going to come out, but it wasn't. It was really just its own thing.
It was an animated film.
It was well done. It's 7 minutes long, and I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, I knew that it came out on the 27th, but I haven't seen it yet. What is it, 29th? Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. Just been busy, and I just honestly I forgot. I'm not gonna lie, I just completely forgot that it was coming out. But I did see that it was coming, and I think I knew it was Kevin Love as well, but I didn't know. I was like, is it that Kevin Love? Is it like the basketball player?
Yeah,
Kevin
he's got
Love?
Like a whole foundation based off of it too. It's pretty cool.
He was pretty known as like having like really supporting mental health. Even remember early on, remember when he was on the Cavs, there was, that was a whole thing was his mental health. And people talked about like, get on the court and play, get on the court and play. We're talking years ago now at this point. This isn't like, if this was now, it'd be a different story. Right. But everyone was like, what is he doing? Get on the court. Like you're a basketball player. What are you doing? And now it's completely different.
Yeah. It's a big thing. Like, we talk about it with our athletes all the time. At Buffalo State, like just trying to help our kids. Like, you know, it really comes down to like, it's a huge thing now, like being able to balance, you know, playing football or playing your sport and being all in, but then also being able to balance your personal life, your work life, your home life, everything. So, you know, we try to give our kids different avenues so they can have different ways of channeling it, and then always having that open door policy for our coaches. That way kids can always come down and talk to us. So it's not just always like football and stuff like that. So it's like, I'm glad it was a Kevin Love production, and it's like opening up a lot of people's eyes to just more than an athlete is just an athlete. Like they're an actual person. So people who are outside of athletics, like they can understand like it, anxiety, depression, like all that stuff like affects everybody. So it's not just, you know, just your everyday person. It's just, it's an everyday common thing that everyone faces.
So tell us a little bit about that. You coach at Buff State. You were coaching at Brockport. Now you're at Buff State. You've been there for a couple of years. Tell us a little bit about your position there and what you do with Buff State.
So this is it's crazy to think like this is now my eighth year into coaching. You know, you talk like I was at Brockport a couple of years ago, right before the world shut down in like 2020. You know, had some great success there, met some great coaches, made some great players, and then came over to Buff State and then like really been, you know, grinding and turning the football program around for the past 4 years. And, you know, I'm the defensive backs coach, the special teams coordinator, the recruiting coordinator, the strength and conditioning coordinator. I have a lot of hats there, and I wouldn't trade it in for the world. You know, got a great head coach in Lazarus Morgan, who came over these past 2 years. He's kind of been the forefront, and between him and our athletic director, Renee Carlinio, like they have been the forefront of helping this turn this program around when it comes to just our overall athletics around. You know, Buff State's like kind of like a hidden gem, being in the city, being not where you're like walking in between like city lights to go to campus and stuff like that. It's its own campus, its own entity, but like it's just a great environment to be around. And then when you see our kids and you see like how focused they are and how driven they are, like despite, you know, the bumps, the bruises, the bad losses, you know, it's not an easy road, you know, playing college football or winning college football games, but like our kids are really focused and dedicated to the process. And that's like our whole thing about it. Like making sure they're really goal oriented and not product oriented, like the finished product, like chasing the wins, chasing the little things, because we know the little things will add up to the big things at the end. But letting the guys really know, like this is something that we're trying to make for a longevity of time. So this is like I said, my fourth year here. I love it. I love the area. I fell in love with Buffalo. You know, me and you, you know, coming from a small town, Wordsboro, like coming from there, then going to Cortland as a graduate, and then playing there, and then going to Brockport, and then going to Buffalo, like I'm finally back into like a big city lifestyle, but like kind of able to do a little bit of everything. So it's a great area. It's a great school, great campus. It's just exciting.
How do you build for longevity at a D3 program, though? Because you guys don't have scholarships, don't have anything like that, and obviously it's tough with a lot of kids, especially if they're good. They're always D1 hopes, right? So how do you really push these kids to go to your school?
D3 football players are a different breed. You talk about scholarships, like. When you're coming out of high school, it's D1 or bust, D1 or bust. Like a lot of kids don't even know like Division III football even exists until, you know, you walk into their school and you tell them like, oh, we're Buffalo State, we're this, or we're University of Brockport, or we're University of Cortland, like we're this, that school. Like, they don't really know anything about Division III for the most part until like you physically go to the school and like meet these kids. And then when you get these kids on campus, like, you realize you get the kids that really love the sport, and like, they're not doing it for a scholarship. They're doing it for competition based. They're doing it to excel in their sport. And then they're, you will get notoriety when you like play at like, when you get to, you know, big rivalry games, Liberty League championship games, when you get to play NCAA playoffs and things like that, when you get to those type of landmarks, those are like when you realize like, the kids are like truly, truly bought into the atmosphere of Division III sports. You know, and that goes across like not even just football, like basketball, baseball, like everything. Like, it's a different type of grit, because you're not playing for the notoriety or the name on the like a TV marquee game or anything like that. You're playing for that division championship. You're playing for that conference championship, that playoff game, and things like that. So it's like really like things where you're gonna play your 4 years, and maybe some kids may get an opportunity to, you know, to get an invite to playing on a professional team, or get an invite to play in Europe or Canada or whatever, if you're good enough. But a lot of it is just a lot of kids playing for, you know, to stay within their sport and stuff like that. So you kind of get a lot of kids that were bought in from day one. You get some kids that'll fizzle out after a while and realize like they're not really for the time management of everything. But it's a constant battle. But I would say like every kid that you come across that has played, it's an elite fraternity when you play 4 years of a college sport. So you'll never hear a kid complain about like after their 4 years, like, man, I wish I never did that, or I wish I never played. Like, you know what I mean? So it's always worth it.
No, you hear more of the opposite. Like, yeah. I wish I went and played. Like, I should have played, or I should have continued. A lot of people leave, and they wish they'd have continued playing and stuff like that. Absolutely. So you have a kid that you're going to recruit without giving it all away. Like, what do you tell this kid to get them to go to Buff State, seeing as you guys are in the rebuilding process? You're 4 years in to a rebuilding process, so you may not be seeing as much success as some of the other schools. Like, how do you get this kid to buy into you?
It's really about, I mean, like, our whole recruiting spiel is, it's not even a spiel. It's just who we are as people. And, I think if you, I mean, you know me, and I mean, you've walked around and met a lot of the staff. Like, we're very personable people, and that's how we portray ourselves to our players, because that's who we want to, we care more about you as a person more than as an athlete. So you can recruit talent. You can recruit the best player. You can get them on campus. You can get them to commit. You can do all that. If the kid is not bought in, if he's not a team player, if he's kind of for himself, like, it's not a kid that you kind of want in the program. It's a kid that's going to be cancerous to the program or cancerous to the culture. So like, we're recruiting more people than we talk about football players. Now, does that mean we're just recruiting slap A and slap B? And no, we're recruiting good football players that have good heads on their shoulders, good grades, good academics. They come in and they spend the whole day, like our whole recruiting day, it's time consuming. Yes. It starts at 8 o'clock, and sometimes it doesn't end until 5, 6 o'clock, but it is, and we try to make sure that when a kid gets on campus and by the time he leaves, not only do our players know their name, players know their parents' name, players know everything, where they came from. They know, they have every question answered possibly about the campus, the school, the environment. We want to cover all your questions by the time you leave campus. That way, when you come back and you say, hey, like, a lot of the times, like, players, like, they'll say, hey, coach, you guys were the most personable I've ever been. Like, yes, we understand, like, your program's not where he wants to be right now. We understand, like, the wins are coming, the wins are there, or the growth is there. But really, like, we understand, like, who you guys are as people is why we come to Buff State. So we've been getting a lot of like recruits and families like really just bought into our message and who we are as people, which when we go down the line like 5-6 years from now and we're a successful program exactly where we want to be, it's going to be more of a longevity base and not like a flash in the pan. Because that's what like a lot of schools would do. Like the transfer portal is big. It's basically, I mean, at the Division I level, it's damn near free agency with the NIL deals and everything like that. Mm-hmm. With Division III, it's really just like best opportunity. So like you can get a kid who's transferring down from D2 to D3, or you can get a kid transferring from D3 to D3 or JUCO to D3 or whatever. But like if those kids don't, like I said, have the same mindset as us or same culture mindset when it comes to what we're trying to do and be about the team, then it's not a good fit for us. We'd rather recruit the kid coming out of high school and groom him for 4 years and know that like he's going to be the finished product and exactly what we talk about, like of what a Buffalo State Bengal is.
And what is a Buffalo State Bengal? If you had to give an elevator pitch of what it is to be a Buffalo State Bengal.
Oh man, I wish my man Osi was on here. My man Osi, he played for me for 3 years. Osi, Ethan, like Jason White, like man, there's a lot of guys that like who have just graduated. Like it's really a lot of about like determination and grit. You know, hard working when like it's not easy to work hard. It's when you're an 0-10 program and you still come in with the same mindset. You still come in, you know, pushing everybody around you. It's a big process over product mindset. All right. Enjoying the little things, enjoying what you do on a day-to-day basis and doing it to the best of your ability. And then making sure that you're making people around you do the same thing as well. So it's like always bringing people up with you, bringing people along with you and making sure that what you're doing is in the right manner of what our program is about. So.
Well, that's why you want to be a Buff State fan. I'm one of the top fans. I'm one of the top. I watch almost every single game.
I know.
I've been to a game now.
I get text messages all the time from between you, my boy Jason, like during the middle of the game. So it's awesome. I don't get to see him until like after the end, but like it's awesome.
Yeah, sometimes you'll get back to me around halftime. You'll shoot me some texts at halftime about something that happened with 2 minutes into the first quarter. But we're always going back and forth on that. But definitely check that out. Check out the Buff State Bengals. They are a fun program to pay attention to. Speaking of football, they've changed some rules recently. This is a great time for you to have come on because they've changed some rules. And you said that you have a little bit of an indifference between the kickoff rules. So personally, I don't really care about the kickoff rule that much because the kickoffs have become a touchback every time. There hasn't really been anything going on when they changed it originally. I was more upset about the original change of the kickoff rule where they moved it up, so now it's a touchback every time, rather than now where it's more XFL where I think they still start at the 35, but all the players start at the opposing 40 or something like that. Yeah. So what's your opinion on it?
So there's like the landing zone and then the blocking zone from what I'm understanding. And my biggest thing about this I like it for the XFL. I just feel like it's gimmicky. And I understand like they're trying to make the game safe, but it's like how safe can you make a contact sport? So I understand like years ago when I was a player and even before then they disbanded the wedge. It was you could have a 5-man wedge and that caused for a lot of injuries. Eric LeGrand, a Buffalo Bills player years ago, I can't remember, he paralyzed his neck because you had these things, these big fullbacks or tight ends called wedge busters, which their whole plan was not to tackle, was just to blow up the 5-man wedge. So they disbarred that. They moved the kickoff up so they could shorten. They stopped the run-up approach and like the kickoff team had to be stagnant. Now they're doing it to where you're 5 yards or 10 yards away from each other. You can't move until the returner has caught the ball. And it's enticing more kick returns, but then at the same time, it's like taking away the scheme side of things and the development side of special teams. And then you're taking away the onside kick approach as well. Like, you can't do any surprise onside kicks. If you want to do an onside kick, you have to announce it to the referee, which
I don't think that happened enough to really make a difference, though. Like, yeah, there was the Super Bowl where it happened, but it doesn't happen enough where I think it's going to make that much of a difference.
It doesn't, but then it always takes away the element of surprise when you can do it. So, like, players like Young Wei Koo of Falcons, he's highly efficient when it comes to his onside kicks. And especially his coordinator, like, this is all the things that, like, I pay attention to. So, like, mm-hmm. you have players like Pat McAfee who were able to do the middle onside surprise kick when you have the opportunity. Like, when you're a special teams coordinator, you get to look at what you can take advantage of and how you can steal a possession or two away from a good team, or how you can manipulate the game or change the field position. When you completely take it away, there's no element of it where a team has to prepare for it or where you can figure out how you can steal a possession. Now the only way you can do that is on punt or field goal, where you can fake a surprise or anything like that, and it'll only be a matter of time before they decide to change that as well. One of my favorite rules that they did over the past couple of years was moving the field goal back, the extra point back. I think that was one of the best rules because, yeah, it's not just a playoff anymore. You move it back to the 35, make it a 35-yard kick. Now you have a lot of kickers who miss those extra points, which can change the course of the game.
Their career.
Yeah, and I mean, shoot, look at what was his name? Robert Aguayo? Aguayo? Couldn't make an extra point to save his life, and then couldn't make a field goal. No. I'm pretty sure he was in the XFL for quite some time. So, like, I like the innovation on some things in the NFL when it comes to the special teams, but it seems like they're slowly trying to take that way that part of the game out. And if that's the case, then you're just going to do offense and defense and then just put the ball at 25, which that's exactly what it was last year with all the touchbacks. It was offense, defense, put the ball to 25, there we go, start the game. Like, and it was – and, like, players like – I mean, you think about all the players over the course of the year who were special team legends, Devin Hester, Joshua Cribbs, Matthew Slater, who just retired, who made his living off kickoff and kick and punt, Jacoby Jones, like all these big time returners. You take the whole return game out, and now with this kickoff unit, you're bringing it back, but I don't think you're bringing it back in the right manner. I think it's very gimmicky. It's not the NFL. If you wanted to leave that to the XFL, leave it to the XFL. I think the way we had kickoffs was fine. Move it back to the 30-yard line. Don't move it up, and then let the guys play. Like, they understand it's a contact sport, and that brings me to my next point. I don't know if you heard about the hip drop tackle rule.
That's I was going to bring up. The reason they changed the kickoff is because of the hip drop tackle. Like, they had to try to take some heat off themselves. That's the only reason they even changed it in the first place. I'm telling you right now. Like, they did this a couple of years ago with pass interference as well. Like, there was another – I can't remember what the rule change was, but there was a major rule change. It might have been the catch thing. Like, they changed what was a catch, and at the same time they did the reviewable pass interference. And it's like to take heat off the other one.
We were just talking about this in the office, and Coach Morgan, he brought up a great point, right? So he said, all right, what's a tackle? My job as a tackle is to bring you down. Now, what stops me from going full speed through your kneecaps? Nothing. Nothing stops me going full speed at your kneecaps right now as a player. Now, I don't, because it's a brotherhood, and you know how to safely tackle somebody to the ground. A hip drop tackle.
Don't do it to them. You don't want them to you.
Exactly. If I'm getting blocked and I'm getting pushed back and you run past me, my only way is to reach out and grab you and drop my center of gravity. There's no other way for me to bring you down to the ground. If that's the case, you want me to just tag off on the hip like it's two-hand touch and let you go on by, then let's just do that then. Let's make it the pro ball. The other point he had was if we're going to make a tackle, if we're going to make a rule on tackling, make a rule on catching. Make a rule that if you don't catch the ball with two hands solid, that means any body catch, any trap catch, anything like that, it's not a complete. It's not a completion. If you want to make a rule that it's making it impossible for defensive players to play defense in the NFL, it's making it nearly impossible. And like, yeah. What was Antoine Hawkins, the receiver for the Browns, he had a great point. He was like, he made a joke. He was like, I'm on everyone's highlight tape on biggest hits. Like, his highlight tape is just him getting smoked 24/7 as a receiver. And he goes, I don't understand. Like, I understood what I signed up for when it came to the NFL. I understood they put the concussion protocol in place. They did this. He said, if you want to make the game safe, how about you take out all the turf fields and put grass, natural grass fields, and then we'll have less body injuries. But that's
the real one.
That's the real talk. But nobody wants that because that ruins the product, because then you will have muddy games and you'll have low scoring games, which won't bring in the money, the revenue, and God forbid you do that. But yep. If you have injuries, you'll have marquee players go down and you'll have players out for weeks, and then you'll, like, I don't understand where the logic is. Like, if you talk about player safety, then make all the fields natural grass or make them the grassy turf, whichever one that helps the players stay healthy the longest.
You need something that has give.
Yeah.
You need just something that has give beneath them. And you limit a lot of the stuff, like with the leg injuries, at least. And the NFL recently, I feel like, out of all the leagues, and baseball could have taken this, but I think the rule changes baseball has done has been, like, pretty good. Like, I've enjoyed the baseball, like the pitch clock, and hasn't been anything that really.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, I like the pitch clock. I liked it when it first came out. I was not one of the haters of the pitch clock when it first came out. I actually went to a minor league baseball game. I went to a Renegades game, and they had the pitch clock before it was in the majors. Mm-hmm. And the game was over in like an hour and 45 minutes. And I was like, wow, this is great. Like, this is legit. We're done already. Like, we can get out of here. This is nice. And I love baseball, and I'm still happy to get out of there in an hour and 45 mm-hmm. minutes. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I was all about the pitch clock. And I feel like the NFL has had a lot of rule changes recently, and none of them come over well. But the difference between the pitch clock in baseball and the rule changes the NFL make is people just love the NFL so much, they just deal with it. No one accepts it. They're not like, yeah, this is good. Like, I love this rule change. They're just like, well, this is the product now. I still like the product. I still am going to care about the product, but this is it now. And I don't agree with the product,
but I have to do it because
this is what I get. This is what I get. So what am I going to do? I mean, when the XFL came out, if you remember, Their big, it was either the XFL or the USFL. I know they're combined now, but at the time when they were both a league, their pitch was like, this is the league where you can hit people. Like, you're going to see hits because people can hit people.
Well, listen,
like, that was their thing. Like, that's what they did.
The first couple games I watched the USFL and XFL, people were getting smoked. And I was, I felt like I was back in, I was 2012, 2011, where I was just watching the Legion of Boom just hit people over and over again.
Yeah.
And I was all in. But, like, now the NFL, it's like, you're not going to see. And I was okay with the crackback rule. I thought that was a dangerous rule. I understood why they took that out for offensive guys blocking. I understood the leading with the head, because that's damage to the head, neck, brain. I understood that. If you want to make it make it very, very similar to like rugby, driving your legs, like teach everyone how to rugby tackle and then teach everybody to tackle safely. But then don't talk about hip drop tackles. Like, that's, if someone gets rolled up on, that's just the nature of the game. That's just what happens. And they're upset because the Baltimore Ravens lost Mark Andrews last year, all of last year. And then the same game, Lamar Jackson got ran, and then Patrick Mahomes. That when it happens to marquee players, everyone goes up in the uproar. When it happens to a bunch of nobodies,
it's reactive league.
Yeah, it is what it is. But I'm not a fan of that rule. Not a fan of the kickoff. But like I said, like this is the product that we're dealt with. This is what we're gonna have to deal with. I'm just hoping that it never trickles down to college. But like especially the kickoff rule. I hope they keep college football the way it is. If they're going to keep the NFL like that because of the money and revenue it generates, I understand. But just let college football just be exactly how it is. I think it's perfectly fine.
It's almost tough not to change the rule, though, because now you're still teaching these kids the one way. And then they're going to get to the highest league, and it's going to be completely different.
Yep.
So it's tough to see it not happen, at least at the D1 level, at least at the highest level, I could see it changing. But you never know. You never know. College does want to try to be different. I mean, they're trying not to be the NFL, right? Yeah. Even though it's basically that's basically the minor leagues.
It's basically the minor leagues.
It's college. So. Which would be an interesting concept if college was. This was a concept I wrote in an article years ago. Okay. And this is like one of the last things we're going to do before we wrap up. I wrote an article for a website that my friend started years ago. It doesn't exist anymore. So I'm not even going to plug it. And it was every NFL team got a series of local colleges, major colleges, and that was their minor league system. So like you drafted a kid out of high school. And the LA Rams have UCLA, and they can stick them on UCLA, or they could stick them on whatever schools were in their thing. And that was their minor league system, was like the three schools that were there. You had like the highest one could be UCLA. Then you can have like, I don't even know what another LA school is off the top of my head. That's pretty bad. Maybe, no, Berkeley's not. Whatever.
Cal Berkeley, LA school there. You go Cal Berkeley. Yeah, you go like three, Stanford, like.
Yeah, there's three California schools, and that's like it goes down levels. Like you don't have like USC, UCLA, and Stanford all in one thing.
Yeah, it's like tier A, tier B, and tier down. C. Yeah.
And then like the guys that you really want, you think are gonna be high, good players, you put on UCLA, and then the other guys you put like and you build them up into UCLA players like over the years. Like maybe it's a D1, D2, D3 thing. I don't know. I don't remember exactly what I wrote, but I was like, if they did that, just think how interesting not only college football would be, but how interesting the NFL would be, because they'd be developing these guys for years before even getting to the NFL, and they'd be developing the way they want. Is that a good thing? Probably not. I mean, we've seen guys. I mean, look at like the Zach Wilsons of the world. Like, who knows? Zach Wilson may have been a good quarterback, but he's with the Jets, and they never had a good quarterback. We don't know.
Yeah. Like, it's all about timing and situation of where you've been. Like, I always think about, like, how good is Pat Mahomes if he's on a different team? I still think he's Pat Mahomes, but he's
probably pretty good, because right now his team was a little tough on the offensive side, and he won the Super Bowl.
The fact that he took that team to the Super Bowl is insane. The fact that he took the Super Bowl with that team is insane to me. You know, but like, I just always think like, what if Zach Wilson is, or what if. I'm a Giants fan. What if Daniel Jones is with Andy Reid? Like, is he a better quarterback?
Yeah.
Is he? Because I know maybe right now. Yeah, you know what I mean? But like, what if Mac Jones actually has an offensive coordinator for the Pats instead of
not a rocket scientist?
Yeah. Like, so it's always a what if game. Like, are these the right fits for the right people, or are these just bad football players? Which one is it?
The funny thing with Mac Jones is I actually think it was hiring Matt Patricia to be the offensive coordinator, which made no sense. But it was also like when they did that and he started to do bad, his confidence was just so shot. He was he was pretty good his rookie year. His rookie year, he looked like he was going to be a good quarterback. Yeah. We're like, oh, wow. Like,
it looked like he was going to be I thought he was going to be a good system quarterback. Like, he's never going to wow. He's in the Pro Bowl. He's not going to wow you statistically wise of like, oh, he's going to throw for 5,000 yards, but he's going to put you in position to win games, and like you have a good defense, good pieces around him. Like,
brought him to the playoffs.
Yeah, like you. But then all of a sudden, it just went.
Like, because they did the same four plays. Yeah. They did like slant over the middle, run left, run light, run middle, and he threw in a couple interceptions and he lost all his confidence, and there was nothing to get him out of that funk. There's no like dinks and dunks that could get you going again. Like, all right, now I'm starting to build some confidence, getting some receptions, building some yards, getting downfield. There was none of that. And then he just lost it. And now he's out of Jacksonville Jaguar.
Yeah. Back up.
And May's probably going to be the new quarterback, and hopefully they do better with him. Him or Daniels, right? Or McDaniels, right?
Jaden Daniels.
It's Jaden Daniels. Okay.
Jaden Daniels.
I don't know. Now I don't know. I don't remember which one's right. I will never know which one's
right. It's Jaden Daniels.
I would be excited to have him because he would just be like super athletic and probably the most exciting player since Randy Moss in that way.
Yeah.
But I think Drake May is probably just the better product to have a quarterback because he's just 230 pounds and he's a very good quarterback.
He's more of a finished product. I'm telling you, the sleeper quarterback in this draft is Joe Milton, the Texas quarterback. Not because he can throw 80 yards while just standing there, but the fact he's got a great physique.
Quarterback?
Yeah, Joe Milton.
Like, the starting quarter? Because wasn't their quarterback's name... Because their quarterback was going back because the whole thing was Arch Manning. Is he going to stay?
Quinn Ewers, right?
Yeah, Quinn Ewers. That was their start.
Oh, sorry, Tennessee. Sorry, not Texas. Sorry, Tennessee. I knew it was orange. I just couldn't remember.
I was about to say, dude, that is a sleeper because he wasn't even the starting quarterback at Texas. That is a deep sleeper right there.
He wasn't even the second string. Yeah, Joe Milton. I was like, wait, no, Quinn Ewers was the Texas quarterback. But no, Joe Milton, I think, is the sleeper quarterback of the draft.
That'd be cool. I would love to be able to play this back in like a year.
Yeah, and see if I was right.
The new CJ Stroud.
You know what's so funny? Every time Facebook Memories comes up around draft time, I go back and like look at all my like if the Giants don't draft this person, and like sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm really wrong, and I look back, I'm like, well, I'm glad I'm not the GM because I really would have fucked this draft up right here. Like, I think at one point I had said the Giants better draft Darius Hayward Bay, and I wanted him so bad out of college because of like the 4.4, 4.1 speed or whatever. And I was like, man, the Giants need this speed. And I'm pretty sure he lasted like 2 years in the league and was out like the next one.
he was probably a Raider, first of all, because he was fast and can't catch. And he lasted like 2 years and that was the end of that. I had one time when I was cleaning out a bunch of old stuff, I found this old article that I wrote for the school paper when I was in Gainesville, Florida, or something like maybe New Haven. It was something like that. And it was after that. Doesn't matter. It was the year Mookie Betts won MVP because I have this sheet and I called the AL and NL MVP and almost had the stats almost exactly right. I called the NL Cy Young. I called the both Rookie of the Years. It was crazy. I'll have to find it again so I could post this. But I called like almost every award before the season, and I had the stats pretty damn close.
Pretty accurate.
I used to be really good at this stuff. Now I went in my fantasy draft, I'm like, who are these people?
See, what you wish you had at that time was FanDuel, because then you would have just made a long parlay bet.
I don't even have it now.
Yeah, in advance, and just like let it ride. Just let it sit.
I don't even have it now. I don't even have FanDuel now. I wish I did, because I really wish I did this. And I think I was in Indy when the season started for the NBA. I definitely was, because I went to the Indy Pacers opener. I was thinking of downloading FanDuel and putting an over on the Orlando Magic win total, because it was 36.5. And I was like, this team is winning 40 plus games.
What are
like,
they at
they're,
now?
They're going to be really good this year.
Are they at 50
games? They're almost, I don't know if they're going to get it. They're like closing in on the 3 seed.
They got to be 50 wins then. They're closing in on the three seed on the East.
It's pretty crazy how good that. I mean, I knew that team was going to be good. Like, I knew that team was going to have a good year, and I'm very happy that they are. If you don't listen to the Six Man Show podcast, go listen to that now, because they are they are great at what they do, and they've been covering this really well. As someone that doesn't get to watch every game, and someone that, like, I don't get to watch every game, I don't get to follow everything going on, and I get a lot of my updates through the Six Man Show from their posting and their podcast, the post game shows, all that stuff. So go follow the Six Man Show. Shout out to Jonathan and Luke. Yep. Are you looking up their stats right? Are their thing right now?
Yeah, I was. I was really curious. The Where Magic are 42-30, while the Knicks are 44-28. It's just a good day to see, yeah, like, see both of our teams who used to struggle day in and day out, like, in the playoff run.
Yeah, and they're in the playoff run. Well, they both locked it up. They're in the playoffs. Yeah. If Orlando's in the playoffs, they are not in the play-in. They have locked a playoff seed up, which is like. So dope.
You know what I want is I want you guys to actually lose a couple games and drop down to the sixth seed. That means the Knicks will have to play the Magic, and then we can really have
that'd be fun.
A discussion there. You know what I mean?
That'd be fun. Depending on if the Knicks come back healthy, and then it'd be fun. Because they played the Knicks now. I think they're 3-1 against the Knicks, Orlando are. And the three games they played, the one loss, I think it was beginning of the season, or was either recent. No, it was recent. They held them to like 80 points.
Yeah.
The Knicks held the Orlando like 80 points, but like none of the games have the Knicks have been completely healthy. Yeah. I don't think they've seen OG once.
OG's been out for a while. And then Josh Hart, like three games in a row, he played like 48 minutes.
Is Julius Randle even back?
I don't think he's back either.
So maybe if they're healthy, it'll be fun.
Hartenstein just came back. I know that. So Hartenstein, and then I know Mitchell Robinson was questionable last night.
Always questionable.
I know.
Off air, we were talking about 2K. Telling you how they keep trading my guy. And I just wanted you to know that I was traded for Mitchell Robinson after my MVP championship winning year, where I averaged 67 points, 14 assists, 10 rebounds. And I got traded for Mitchell Robinson.
Solid trade piece.
No draft picks involved. It was a straight up my 67 point per game guy for Mitchell Robinson, who then they traded to the Nets. So he didn't even stick with the Jazz, which team I was on.
Hey, at least he didn't have to move. If you really think about it, he didn't have to move.
True. Or did he? I don't know how long he was on Utah. Yeah, maybe he had to move to Utah for 3 months. And they're like, yeah, you know what? Just kidding. You're going back to New York.
All right. So to help close out this, the one thing I wanted to talk about that we started this whole thing about, we started basketball.
Yeah, you wanted to bring it up in the beginning, but then we went all over the place. Yeah.
So being from Gonzaga, I know Jalen Suggs is your guy. I know Chet Holmgren's your guy. Chet Holmgren, he played 82 games. He's on pace to play 82 games, start 82 games, completely healthy. Does he deserve to win Rookie of the Year over Victor Wembanyama?
Does he not deserve it? If you were asking me this 3 months ago, I would have said Chet's going to win Rookie of the Year. But, dude, Victor Wembanyama, since, like, January, is averaging, like, 5.5 blocks.
He's
averaging, like, 20 points, 5.5 blocks, 15. No, Victor Wembanyama is going to win, and he should win. I love Chet, and I think he's great for Oklahoma City. This is just a basketball segment now. This is great. I think Chet's great for Oklahoma City. I think they were very dumb for not going to get another center. They need a beefy guy there that can come in when they first guys that they're going to need. They're going to need a guy that could play down low against the few buff centers that Chet's going to get bullied by. Chet, Victor Wembanyama, all those guys get bullied by these guys.
Yeah.
They need a big guy like that. And they went out and they got Gordon Hayward instead of getting a guy that can do that. They got Gordon Hayward because the expiring contract, and they can get somebody in the offseason, all that stuff. They should be winning now. They're like, they can still potentially be the one seed in the West. Like, not going out and getting a center was a really dumb move. They could have moved him up one, put a bigger guy on, like the Jokic of the world.
Or coming off the bench. To give you some time.
It's tough to have Chet coming off the bench. He'd probably start at center, honestly.
The bigger guy, the bigger guy.
Like in a series, he'd start coming off the bench, and then if you really need him to, you put him at center to go against whoever you need. especially because beefy centers are kind of coming back. Like, yeah, the big center is kind of making a comeback a little bit. Like, it was lengthy for a couple of years there, but now it's kind of coming. Like, they're still there. Like, Victor Wembanyama is obviously still there.
Gonna have to pause you on that one. That was pretty bad. Lengthy. That was pretty bad. but yeah, no, absolutely. Like, hey, man. Like, you got Joker. You have Joel Embiid, guys who like really like can. Take you out on the 3-point line and then ISO you down low to where they can just back you down underneath the post and then make a finishing move to the basket. But like Chet, like you said, like Chet and Victor, like they're not going to be able to hang for 40 minutes a game versus those guys.
But the thing with them is they get bullied and they're always going to be on dunk tapes, right? They're always going to be on dunk tapes. It is what it is. They're just not that big. But if you watch these guys actually play night in and night out, as many times as they're on dunk tapes, they're also blocking the absolute hell out of these guys. Like, they have good time. I told you this when the NBA draft was coming. The craziest thing, when I was watching Chet, because I got to – the one thing that I'm grateful for in my life is I got to watch Chet, like, literally up close.
Yeah.
Like, I was at those games on the baseline with a camera. And the craziest thing about Chet was he was so good timing-wise with blocks. Like, yeah, he's tall and he's lanky and he can – but he was just so good timing-wise. He was able to block so many different shots.
And he's –
and that's why he's
scared. He's, like, really athletic for how big he is. Like, so he's able to cover ground, cover from one block to a mid-range shot to a floater to, like – he's got a great – like you said, a great instinct around the rim. Him and Victor, and it also helps with being, you know, the long, lanky type to able to cover that ground.
I thought this question was gonna be different. I thought you were gonna ask, do I think that Orlando should have gone with Chet instead of Bankero? And I was gonna say, absolutely not. Paolo Bankero.
I think Bankero fits
stud.
Exactly. Yeah, I think Bankero fit. Bankero is a better version of what I thought Tobias Harris was going to be for the Magic.
That's hurtful to compare Bankero to Tobias.
No. I'm saying like Tobias Harris is a discount Bankero, not Bankero is a discount.
I know. But a lot of people compare him, saying like his ceiling's probably Jason Tatum. You're like, I thought he would be a better Tobias Harris.
Tobias Harris. No, but like, that guy. Like thinking Ben Carroll, like coming out of Duke, like I was worried about the sweat problem he was having, like losing like 10 pounds a game. Didn't think he was going to last. So I thought, you know, he'd probably be a 25 to 30 minute type player, you know, functional. Good rebounder, good post scorer, good mid-range specialist, and he's just turned into an all-around player who does everything.
Yeah, he's a dog.
And
he's a dog. That's like, he's an absolute
but
dog.
But like when Tobias Harris was on the Magic for you guys, I thought Tobias Harris was going to be that as well. I thought there was no issues with Tobias Harris coming out of college, so I thought Tobias Harris was going to be your everything small forward, power forward guy that can do back to the basket.
Technically,
mid-range.
He was,
but he just like
he technically just wasn't good at it. But he technically was.
So that's where I'm getting at. Like my Tobias Harris, he's a lot better. So he's your Tatum. I just don't. Does he do a lot of the point forward stuff like Tatum does, or not really? Is
not
it really,
really
like
Suggs? So The big thing, well, Suggs doesn't do the pointy of this. Cole Anthony and Markelle Fultz. But the big problem with Bankero that people were worried about was, like, will he be able to score in the NBA? Like, because he was a very much post-centric or basket-centric guy, I should say. Not really post-centric, but like a basket-centric guy. But he creates his shots, and he gets to the basket. Like, elite skills in getting by people. He's just so good. He's fun to watch. And I got to see him a couple times up close in Indy. I saw him dunk on Jalen Smith or whatever for Indy. It was beautiful to watch that. He is just, he's a fun player to watch. I love Paolo Bencaro. I also love Chet Holmgren And I like Victor Wembanyama as well. I kind of fallen into that baseball when I was younger. Like, I liked a lot of players and didn't dislike anybody. I don't really dislike any NBA players.
Yeah, there's really no NBA players that kind of piss me off. Like, everyone's...
No, there's some that make dumb decisions, but I don't sit there like, I hate this guy.
Yeah, like, I'll watch... Steph Curry, I'll watch all the time. Like, even though he's, like, he's got to be 33, 34 now, like...
Might be older than that, even. Yeah, might be 35, 36-ish.
He's electric to watch. So,
he's fun to watch.
Yeah, so. But, yeah.
We got a little bit of everything in today. That's great. We got a little bit of everything in. I just wanted to say, good run by my Zags. They're not in the tournament anymore by the time everybody's listening to this. So, good run by my Zags. Because we were talking about the Zags, I wanted to bring that up.
They lost.
Good run by them. Sweet 16. They are going to lose to Purdue. So good luck to the rest of the teams. I hope you all lose and nobody wins this year. But Chandler, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate you being here.
Man, really appreciate you having me, man. This is awesome. I love what you do, man. Like I said, I've been a big supporter of you and everything, mad props, sketching up, working for marketing companies, everything. So keep it up. Keep up the hard work can't wait to be on the next episode.
Heck yeah. Thank you so much, Chandler, for joining us. Thank you guys all for being here for another great episode of Mad Props. Remember, you can follow Chandler on social media. We'll put all the links below so you can find that. And you can find them on all different platforms. And you can follow Buff State. We'll put Buff State down there as well. So you can follow them on all different platforms and see what they're up to if you want to see what his team's going on with. Or if you're a football player that's interested in going to Buff State, you can see what's going on with them as well. Thank you guys all for being here for another episode of Mad Props. Remember to follow us on social media at Mad Props Pod on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, or at Schnabel Studios on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and TikTok. We are trying to push the TikTok a little bit more. We kind of stopped, so the people that are following are like, what the heck? You're not doing anything. Why would I follow this? Well, we're going to start moving it again. So definitely go check out all of our stuff. Check out the YouTube. Go subscribe to our YouTube. I'm thinking of doing some more fun stuff on there, like maybe some live things on there, but we'll have to see. Not right away, but maybe in the near future. So if you want to see what we're going to go on there, definitely go check out our YouTube at Schnabel Studios and subscribe to that. Make sure you hit the bell and you get every episode of every podcast or any video that comes out, you'll get right away. So do that for us pretty please. Thank you guys again for being here. We really appreciate you being here. I'm not going to keep you too long here at the end. Just make sure you go follow us and go ahead and comment, subscribe, like, share, give us 5 stars, whatever. Tell us how the podcast is. Honestly, all I really care about is you telling us how the podcast was. All I really want to know is, did you enjoy this? Was this good for you? Where can we improve? That's really all I want to know. So if you just want to do that, that's fine. If you want to do the rest of this stuff, that helps us out too. But just tell us how we did, because we were here for you. This is why we're doing this, for your listening pleasure. So do that. I've been Chris Schnabel. Well, thank you guys so much. Chandler, thank you again for coming on. Really appreciate you being here. This has been Mad Props. We'll see you next week. See you later. Go vote for the throwback. I don't know if it'll be the next episode, but go vote for the throwback. It's going to be this week on Twitter, probably Instagram, and maybe Facebook. Go do it.